Welcome to the Torah Timachon Nachyomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Chav Dalet, Chapter 24. This, once again, is a very hard perek to learn through. Once again, David HaMelech is faced with a challenge. We are going through the Chavlei Leida of building the Beis HaMikdash. There are labor pangs. It's the birth pangs. It's right before the salvation comes. Like in Mitzrayim, we went through terribly difficult times before the Yeshua. And so too, in our times, we are going through Chavlei Leida, labor pangs, just before Be'ezrat Hashem, Mashiach arrives. However, it's still a difficult incident to understand. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayosef af Hashem l'chareis b'Yisrael. And the anger of Hashem continues to be ignited against Yisrael. Vayases es David b'hem. And he incited David on them, Lamor, saying, Lech menei es Yisrael v'es Yehuda. Go and count Yisrael and Yehuda. Why was Hashem angry? Rashi says, Lo yadati alma. I don't know why. It's so hard. I don't know why Hashem was angry at them. It's going to be very difficult for us to try and figure it out if Rashi couldn't. We have a few options. We ended the last parak with a listing of David's warriors, ending with a question about why we ended the list with Uriah HaChiti, when in Divrei HaYamim there seems to be more warriors. We gave one answer yesterday, and we have another thought today, based on the Psikta, who says that when Uriah's name was mentioned, Hashem got angry, remembering the story of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah. And even though David has already been through so much, he is a person who is going to die totally clean from any Avera. Everything will have been taken care of. The Arizal says that David is unique in this way, that he totally cleansed himself from all his chataim, all his mistakes, before leaving this world. Another answer we can give is that a long time ago, back in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chafav, one of the times that David had the opportunity to kill Shaul, when he found him sleeping and he took his spear and his water bottle, he didn't kill him. And Avishai said to him, we have an opportunity, let's get him. David said, we don't have to kill Shaul, Hashem will take care of it. We don't have to worry about it. And then he calls out to Shaul, and he said, it can't be that you decided on your own to chase me again. So it's either that Hashem told you to chase me, or other people. And he finishes by saying, if Hashem is using you as a tool to punish me, then I accept his judgment, and he should accept as an offering my broken heart, and the fact that I didn't hurt you, Shaul, like I could have. And the words in the pasuk are, Im Hashem hesischa bi, he's saying to Shaul, if Hashem incited you against me, yarach mincha, may he accept my mincha, my korban, again, his broken heart. In the Gemara Brachas, it says, Hashem says to David, you are calling me an inciter? That's the word you're going to use, that Hashem is inciting you? I will now incite you to do something that even children know not to do. David's belief in everything coming from Hashem is exemplary. He's saying this at a time where he could have killed Shaul, and he didn't, and he's accepting the Yisurim that Hashem is sending him. So it comes as a surprise that he is punished for this tiny little lapse of using a word like hesis. But perhaps it's when a person is so good at something, that is where his slightest deviance is noticed, and he is held accountable for this. Like a master musician playing in a concerto and misses one note that none of us would notice, for him, that's a big mistake. Or like the example we gave right at the beginning of Shmuel, when we were speaking about a scratch on a diamond is very different than a scratch on a piece of scrap metal. And for David to use this word of calling Hashem an insider was a tiny, tiny little lapse. Because he did, he will be put into a position now that he is going to do something which we don't quite understand. He is being driven to do something that won't be for his good, and it seems like it has to be done. Hashem sends this incitement to make him do something. Neither of these two answers, however, explain to us why the Jews are held accountable. We're going to see that the Jews are going to go through terrible suffering because of this mistake that David is going to make to count them. Why are the Jews held accountable? What did they do wrong? The Metzudah says it's because of the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, which we learned about a couple of prokem back, and we don't see that they had any. There was any reaction to the fact that Klal Yisrael went to join again another rebellion against David HaMelech. The Abarbanel quotes the Ramban saying that it seems like there was something missing in their complacency. Here they have a king already for 40 years, and he's eager to build the Beis HaMikdash, but where is their passion? Where is their enthusiasm? Why aren't they doing anything about it? And this decree, as we'll see, is indeed what's going to get them to wake up and do something that really needs to be done. The Ramban explains that there are two possible mistakes in the counting. One, they should have been counted with a something, like a machatzis ha-shekel, like we saw in the Midbar, that when the Yidden were counted, they weren't counted as individuals, but they gave in a machatzis ha-shekel, a half a shekel, and the shkolim were counted, not people. Or, in this case, the counting was lo litzarach, there was no need to count them, and therefore this becomes a problem. What's the problem with counting? It puts people into a position of being looked at in a very individual way, and then there's a character judgment being made on each one. Are you worthy of being part of Kahal Hashem? Are you worthy of being counted? Are you worthy of being here? On Rosh Hashanah, to instill pachad, to instill fear in us, we say, Kol ba'ei olam ya'avrun lefanecha kivnei marin. On Rosh Hashanah, indeed, we all pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as individuals, one by one, and that is scary. It's always a good idea to avoid counting whenever we can, to avoid paying individual attention or calling Hashem's attention down to individuals. Therefore, there are people who will not count how many grandchildren they have. We try not to count people if we don't need to for this reason. Indeed, it's something that every child simply seems to know. The Malbim says that the counting came from a fear that perhaps there would be a renewed rebellion of Yisrael against Yehuda, like in the time of Sheva ben Bichri. So that's why he asked to count Yisrael and Yehuda to see if they were balanced. And this could connect back to the reason that Hashem would be angry at Klal Yisrael for the revolt of Sheva ben Bichri, because David is talking about it now, which they were never punished for. So the king tells Yoav to go and count them, and Yoav tells him that don't worry about it. Let them be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times more than they are. In Divrei Hayomim, it adds that Yoav says to David, Lama yivakesh zais Adoni? Why are you asking me to do this, my master? Lama yiyeh la'ashma li'Yisrael? Why should we bring guilt on Yisrael? What is the purpose of this counting? They are all your servants. You have nothing to fear. In Pasuk Dalet, Vayechazak Dvar HaMelech El Yoav El Sarei HaChayel, David's word was stronger than Yoav and the Sarei HaChayel, the generals of the army. From here we see that the generals were also against the counting. Vayete Yoav V'Sarei HaChayel Lefnei HaMelech Lefkoid Es Ha'am Es Yisrael, and they go out to count the nation. Rashi in Pasuk Hay says they made all kinds of tactics to delay it. They started with God, with Shevet God, because they were strong, hoping that they would go against them and prevent the counting from happening. And then they went to El Eretz Tachtim Chodshi, a new place that it should be hard to find the people and they shouldn't have been consolidated. And it took him 9 months and 20 days. He took his time, hoping that meanwhile David would change his mind. But the counting is finished, and in Pasuk Tes, he gives him the number. It seems that there were a couple of calculations of the numbers here, which I'm not going to go into, but Vayitein Yoav es Mispar Mifkad Ha'am, to two types of numbers, El HaMelech, to the king, Vatihi Yisrael Shmoina Me'os Elef Ish Chayel Sholef Cherev. There were 800,000 soldiers from Yisrael who had their swords withdrawn, Ve'ish Yehuda Chamesh Me'os Elef Ish, and Yehuda had 500,000. It seems like proportionately Yehuda had many more soldiers than the whole Yisrael put together, because they were constantly preparing for battle. They were constantly prepared for war. When it says the number, it says Vatihi Yisrael instead of Vayihi Yisrael. Vatihi is in feminine form, telling us that they became physically weak from this counting. Like a woman is physically weaker than a man, here they became physically weaker. Immediately after the counting happened, Vayach Lev David Oisai, Pasuk Yod, verse 10, his heart hit him, Achreichein, Safar Esa'am, after he counted the nation. Vayomer David al Hashem, Chatasi Ma'id, I sinned a lot, Asher Asisi, with what I did. Va'ata, and now Hashem, Ha'aver Na'es Avoin Avdecha, Ki Niskalti Ma'id, please remove my sin because I was very foolish. For the 10 months he was under the influence of the Hasata, of the incitement, and he had no No compunctions about what he was doing, no doubt and no guilt, but as soon as it was over, he realized that he had made a mistake. Most people, when they realize that they did something wrong, they try to rationalize it. And even once it's clear that they were wrong, they have to save face somehow. It's a very rare individual who, once he realizes that he made a mistake, can turn around and say, I sinned. I did something foolish. Even though Yoav was right there, who could be thinking or saying, I told you so. And yet David on his own, as we have seen, his nature, his ability, his koyach, his gvura, his strength to be able to say, I sinned. And so Hashem sends God to him. God Hanavi. We met God already once in Shmuel Aleph, and he seems to have been an influential part of David HaMelech's life. We just don't have many of his nevuas here, because the only nevuas that are going to be recorded, the only prophecies that are recorded, are those that are needed for us to know for the generations. But he has a nevuah, and he comes to tell David, Hashem will give you three options of your punishment. Shalosh anochi noitel alecha. Three I'm going to put onto you. Choose one of them. Now, very interesting, this word, there's a diktuk question here of why it says Shalosh anochi noitel alecha, because noitel means to take. It should say matil, I am putting on you. The noitel means to take. And from this little diuk, this little distinction in the grammar, we get such a message of hope, especially during dark times. Shalosh anochi noitel, I'm going to put them on you, but really I'm taking them too, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes part in all the suffering. Whenever we are going through a suffering, we should know that Hashem is with us, and He is notel. He is, even though it's alecha on you, there's a part of the suffering is on me as well. What were the three punishments? This is unprecedented in our history, by the way, that we can choose our own punishment. And the three punishments were either 7 years of ra'av, 7 years of famine. In Divrei Hayamim, it says 3 years of famine because it includes the three that had already happened and the year after the famine, where it's hard to recover from the famine. But so it's a period of time of famine, 3 months of being chased by the enemy, or 3 days of sickness. And these things are probably of the most frightening. These are the things that we are scared about. One, ra'av, famine, which represents all what we call acts of nature. Certainly, they're all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, famines, or enemies, war, or getting sick. These are the three big ones. And David responds, and he chooses. He says in Pasuk Yudalet, verse 14, Nipla nabiyat Hashem, ki rabim rachamav. I'd rather choose the 3 days of sickness. Let's fall in the hands of Hashem, because He is ever merciful. Uviad adam al epla. I don't want to fall in the hands of man. I'm going to choose something, David says, where everyone is equal. Because if it's a war, people will say that I can protect myself with my army. And if it's a ra'av, if it's a famine, I'm the king. I'll still have food. It should be something where we can all fall equally. I don't want people to say that I chose something to protect myself. In Divrei Hayomim, it says that this becomes public, and immediately they dressed in sackcloth and begin to do tshuva for their actions. In Pasuk Tes Vav, the Gzeirah was meant to last for 36 hours, but it lasted for a much shorter period of time. Different opinions, whether it was 1 hour or 6 hours, the words of the Pasuk are, Mehaboiker v'ad eis ma'ed, from the morning until the designated time, from the time of sunrise until perhaps the time they brought the Tumid, until they spritzed the blood, or until Chatzos, but whatever it is, it's much shorter than it was meant to be. It was meant to be 36 hours. That means 3 times the 12 hours of the day. And instead, it was much, much shorter. And yet, 70,000 people died. The Gemara says that Avishai was one of those who had died. An interesting point, side point, I'm bringing it in just because of the time of year. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who's of the opinion that it lasted only 1 hour, said, how did we get from 36 hours to one? He said 36 hours were decreed against them, but we had many defenders standing up to help us with this. 7 days of the week, where we all prepare for Shabbos, 8 days of Mila, Chamisha Sifrei Torah, 5 books of the Torah, Schus Avay Shlesha, the Schus of the 3 Avays, and then we had 13 hours left, and either the 12 Shvatim came and helped us, or the 10 Dibreis, the 10 commandments, Aseret Dibreis, and the 2 Luchos, the 2 tablets that Moshe brought. And it's so interesting because it seems like just a folk song, Echad Miyodea, which we sing by the Pesach Seder, and yet it means every single one of these really gives us a schus according to that number. It helped us, at least in this situation, that we were down to 1 hour. In Psukim Tesayin and Yudzayin 16 and 17, we see that David sees a malach, an angel, whose hand was outstretched to continue to strike, and David sees this vision. His hand was outstretched on a specific place, the granary of a man named Aravna, Hayavusi. It's actually on Har HaBayis, and the place that the Beis HaMikdash will be built. The pasuk in Divrei HaYamim gives us more details. Vayisa eina vayar es malach Hashem. He lifts his eyes and he sees the malach Hashem, oimed bein haaretz uvein haShemayim, standing between the heavens and the earth, and his sword is outstretched, v'charboi shlufa biyadai netuya al Yerushalayim, outstretched over Yerushalayim. He actually saw the malach HaMavis, the angel of death, a sight which took away the last shreds of menuchas hanefesh, of equanimity from him, and left him literally trembling and shivering, which we'll see as the story continues in Sefer Malachim. And he says, Vayomer, he says to Hashem, Hine anoichi chatasi, va'anoichi he'avisi. I am the one who sinned, I am the one who caused to sin. Ve'ela hatzain, and these sheep, my people, my flock, my nation, me'asu, what did they do? Tihina yotcha bi uveves avi. Take the punishment should come to me. He says, yes, I was the one who sinned, and I was the one who counted them. And even if you say that they wouldn't have been punished if they didn't deserve it, so they must also be sinners. It's true, but if they are like sheep and I am their shepherd, then I am responsible to make sure that they aren't sinners. So that's also my fault. He's taking responsibility as a leader. Pasuk Yirches 18. Vayavai God el David bayom hahu. And God comes to David on that day. Vayomer lei, Ale hakem l'Hashem mizbeach begoyren Aravna hayivusi. Go and build a mizbeach in this granary of Aravna. Perhaps this is the indication of what the problem of Klal Yisrael was. This is the answer. You need to get to work on building the Beis HaMikdash. You need to show the people. The people need to be awakened to the fact that they are missing something. And of course, the Medrash points out that we have to learn from this that they, in the time of David, never knew what a Beis HaMikdash was, and yet they are still implicated and held guilty for not wanting it so much. We, who have the memory, of course, we also don't know what the Beis HaMikdash is because we haven't had it, but at least in our history, there is a memory of it. How much more so should we be desperate for the Beis HaMikdash to be built? So David gets up immediately and starts to do what he's told to do. Aravna is very willing and eager, offering David even the animals and the wood for karbanos. But in Pasuk Chaf Beis 22, we see that David doesn't want it. He wants to pay him fully, which he does, recorded forever. We bought this land legitimately. In Divrei Hayamim, it says that David says, Vayomer David, Zehu Beis Olamim, Veze Mizbeach La'ila LeYisrael. This is our eternal home. This is the Mizbeach forever for Bnei Yisrael to bring karbanos. From now on, whenever anyone wants to bring a karban, it has to be here, as this is the place that it always was, the place of Akedas Yitzchak, the place Noach built his Mizbeach. Also Cain and Hevel brought their karbanos here, and even Adam HaRishon, all here, in this very place. In Tehillim Perek Daled, David says, and this is a good summary of all the learning we have done together, Bitzar Hirchaftali, when I was in turmoil during my disastrous days, in my pain and in my difficulty, whenever anything bad happened, now literally, Hirchaftali, you gave me the space, the room, you took me out of it. As we say, min hametzar karasi ka anani ba merchav ka HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I'm in tight places, you widen them for me, you take me out. But it's more than Hashem taking him out. He says, whenever something that looked like it was bad happened, good things came out of it. Although there were mistakes, although there were chata'im, for example, the mistake of Bathsheba and Uriah, and this mistake now of the counting. Because he did total tshuva, and it was a tshuva that came from love, the result was that it brought him closer to Hashem, and it was through that that greater things could happen because of the closeness. And the two great things that came out of these two big sins, the mistake of David and Bathsheba, allows Shlomo HaMelech to be brought into the world, and that's Malchus Beis David. And this counting, which is, again, so inexplicable, so seemingly unnecessary pain, it allows David to buy the spot where the Beis HaMikdash is eventually going to be built. And this is the way we have to deal with the mistakes that we make. Of course, it's a totally different level of mistakes and errors and chata'im, but to understand that when we mess up, it's an opportunity for us to recognize how badly we need the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that to come closer to Him. Vayiven Sham David Mizbeach Hashem, and David builds there a Mizbeach to Hashem. Vayal Oilei Sushlamim, he brings up Karbanas. Vaye Aser Hashem La'aretz, and Hashem responded to the land. Vateyatzar HaMagefa Me'al Yisrael, and the Magefa stops from Yisrael. When we have this word Veye Aser, we had it back when Yitzchak and Rivka were davening for a child. And the response is, when Hashem responds with this word, with Veye Aser, it means ribui. Hashem accepted Yitzchak and Rivka's tefillah and didn't give them a child, but gave them two, a lot. So too, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which we are coming to, there will be a lot. There will be a lot of people. There will be a lot of bracha. There will be a lot of wealth and a lot of power because Hashem responded to the tefillah of David. We have seen historically that whenever there's a time of great din and loss to the Jewish nation, it is often followed with a special siyata d'shmaya, and a great, which is divine providence, and a great amount of growth. Most recently, we saw this after the Churban of Europe, after the Holocaust, the incredible growth that came in the generations after that, that we continue to see in our time. And as this pattern happened back at that time, tremendous pain, tremendous difficulty, and at that time, during David's time, the pain culminated with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so should it too, Be'ezrat Hashem, in our days. May Hashem protect us from all danger and from all harm, and may we also merit to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It has been a pleasure studying with you. It has been a challenge to put everything that I want to say into so little time, and I do feel like I tried to get in as much as I could, but there is so much more to say and to explore and to read. But it's definitely been an enlightening experience for me, and I hope so for you as well. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Imotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Hashalom, and Sarah Shankar, Allah Hashalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their families' Torah legacies to the next generations.